Creep It Real, the Alaskan podcast about the paranormal, fitness, and other favorite topics with your host, Jesse Desmond. Welcome to Creep It Real. I'm Jesse Desmond, coming at you from the Golden Heart City, Fairbanks, Alaska. This is episode 3, and we're going to discuss Bigfoot in the Tanana Valley State Forest of Alaska. This kind of is like the interior region of Alaska that we'll be focusing on. Be sure to check out Facebook for the Creep It Real podcast page. That way you can check out pictures and links and stay up to date. You can even send messages and all that kind of good stuff. I don't have any guests for the podcast right now, and honestly, I don't know if I'm going to, but I will be giving a big old shout out to a local investigator who resides in the area of the Tanana Valley State Forest down in Tok. So if you are wondering how you can get involved, I'll be sharing that later on as well. So first, this announcement, then on with the show. As you might have picked up from the first two episodes, I do like to have some sort of beverage when I'm putting the podcast together. Right now I'm having a cup of Bigfoot coffee. It is the Kona blend. I'm not sure on the percentage right now, but Bigfoot coffee, I first saw it when I was in the SeaTac airport. It had really great Bigfoot packaging on it, and I had to have it. So on my way back through the airport coming home, I grabbed a bag, and I have since ordered some, and I've tried all of them, and I really like the Guatemalan roast, and I really like the Kona. They have donut shop, and it always sounds good, but I've just never been a big donut shop coffee roast person. I don't know what exactly donut shop is supposed to be, but it's not really my favorite. So anyway, if you want to try that, you can go to bigfootcoffee.us. And again, I recommend the Guatemalan or the Kona roast, and they have some really great packaging. If you're a Bigfoot fan, I would say that this is the coffee that you need to try. I'm going to drop the link in the podcast description and again over on Facebook. If you happen to be in Fairbanks, which is where I am located, then you can stop by the Red Couch. It's downtown, and they are the only place in Fairbanks that carries Bigfoot coffee, in case you urgently need a bag and you are in town here. All right, so our topic for today is Bigfoot in the Tanana Valley State Forest. And I guess it's important to kind of give you an idea of this forest, because it's massive. The Tanana Valley State Forest spans across the interior of Alaska from Nenana up to Fairbanks and over to Tok. And according to the U.S. Forestry website, it says that it spans 1.81 million acres, and that means it extends 265 miles. It's huge, huge, huge. And this forest itself, just the forest alone, is larger than the state of Rhode Island. I would say that that's a fairly large forest. You also have to realize that while there are communities within the realms of this forest, such as Fairbanks, such as Nenana, Delta Junction, Fort Greeley, there's more forest than there is space being lived in. And that's something that a lot of people, they tend to forget when it comes to Alaska, is that we are just, we have, there's just this incredibly vast amount of space. And it's really hard to emphasize that without actually experiencing it. So believe me when I say that it's a really large area and there's not a lot of people there. So having grown up in the midst of this forest, I was in fact born in Fairbanks, but I grew up out in North Pole, which is about 14 miles southeast of Fairbanks. I know that we have a multitude of large animals in the area, and that's both predator and prey, and it doesn't matter which one it is because there's always some sort of element of danger, right? So, I'm sorry, my chair is so creaky. I need a new one. I'm looking at my notes. I'm sorry. I always have to have notes. Otherwise, I get completely lost. So if we go into, let's talk about the environment and the resources, because even if you're an animal, you need three things to survive. So this is food, water, and some sort of shelter, right? And I mean, even bears tend to find areas where they're kind of protected from the elements, and you know, moose do the same sort of thing. They don't just sleep out in the middle of a field or something. the Tana Valley State Forest has a lot of edible vegetation. It is a boreal forest, so there's a lot of edible plants. There's a lot of wild herbs and wild vegetables that grow. There's also berries, and a lot of animals can eat tree bark that humans can't really process. There are mushrooms, and there's just all kinds of, in the way of plants, there's a lot of stuff out there if you know what to look for. The trees around here in the Tanana Valley State Forest include paper birch, quaking aspen, balsam poplar trees, black spruce, white spruce, and tamarack as like the big major trees. I know I'm missing some there. I guess some people would probably say willow as well, but we don't have like huge willow. We have like this boggy willow, and I forgot the exact name of it. Sorry. We also have quite a bit of agricultural stuff going on. Most of this is people growing hay or some kind of grain or something. And a lot of these crops are for horses and cattle and stuff like that as well. So there's a lot of that going on. We do have a lot of, or quite a bit of the pick and pay farms. So there's always something growing. And let's see here. Also, it's in the, when you get into the summer, it's really common around here for farmers and even like local gardeners, especially, to kind of plant like either a barrier of vegetables for moose or to have something set aside specifically for the moose. And they just kind of like let those plants be, because the animals will learn where they can go. It might be kind of an unusual thing for a lot of people, but it's up here, it's fairly common. Let's see here. Bigfoot is supposed to be both they eat vegetables, they eat plant life, and they also eat small animals and stuff, supposedly. And we do have a lot of wild game up here. We have a lot of game birds. We have a lot of small animals. Oh, we have a lot of moose. You get one moose and you're pretty good for the winter. for the most part. We have a lot of fish. So this is really a great area because we have a lot of food. There's a lot of food and a lot of resources for animals. Another thing that we have a lot of rivers, a lot of ponds, a lot of lakes, creeks, bogs. So there's snow a good portion of the year. So we have a lot of water. It's pretty abundant around here. It just depends on what form it's in, whether it's liquid or a snowy solid. When it comes to shelter, one thing that we have, I mean, it's forest. So, of course, there are trees that could be put into some sort of form. But there's also, we have a lot of mining shafts and caves and stuff around here. Fairbanks in the interior of Alaska was kind of founded for gold, you know, gold and other stuff that gets mined. I know we have some fossil mines and we have some silver and copper and all kinds of other things that are commonly mined for. So it wouldn't surprise me if there's, you know, Bigfoot hanging out in some shut down mine shaft or something, just because it gets them out of the weather and it can be protective. What else? There are also quite a few abandoned and very remote cabins. Some of them are pretty dilapidated, but I don't see why. If you're a big animal and you're looking for something to kind of get you out of the weather, it might not be the warmest place, but I don't know. If I came across some kind of pre-made structure and I was out in the middle of nowhere, I'd probably try and use it at least temporarily. So that's something that I've thought a little bit about because I know that we have remote cabins out in the middle of nowhere. So we do have a number of large animals up here. The Alaskan moose is like the largest species of moose, and it's the largest member of the deer family. The shoulder height of an average moose is probably about 5'9", 5'10". And that's just up to the shoulder. They're a little bit bigger than like a quarter horse, and I don't know, I guess, how big is the Clydesdale? Probably around the same size. I mean, they weigh in at about 1,100 pounds, just on the average there. So, I mean, they're big, and they can be surprisingly aggressive, because they have super sharp hooves. They're super fast for their size. And if they think that you are provoking them in any way, even if you don't see them, but they see you, they will come at you. You know, and there's people that get trampled, and it's, I don't know, moose can be kind of, just watch yourself if you're around a moose. How about that? Okay, so we also have caribou. Caribou are pretty small in comparison. They're about the size of your average deer, I guess. And they have big, giant antlers. Moose have big antlers as well, but they're like bulky, and caribou are more lanky. The thing with caribou is that if you see one, there's probably 100 or 200 or more caribou in the area, because they travel in huge numbers. They're very migratory, and they usually stick more to the tundra areas, and you're really not gonna see them come into town, because they stay out in the woods. We do have black bear, but we more prominently in the interior area have grizzly bear, and you don't want to mess with those. We have wood bison. I know that there's a wood bison herd down in Delta Junction. Again, those are big animals. They kind of, that's a big agricultural center, Delta Junction, and you know, you just want to avoid the bison. If one of the things that I really like to do is I like to go onto YouTube and I like to watch bison attacks down in like Yellowstone National Park or something. I think that's pretty amusing to me. Let's see. We have wolves, we have lynx, and you could even consider porcupine as like kind of a larger animal, because up here they are pretty large. I've seen them get up to about the size of like a medium to large dog, and I mean you can get some serious damage done if you mess with the porcupine, you know, if you get stuck. Let's see here. So could we add Bigfoot to our list of large animals? I mean, if we have the environment to sustain these large animals, both predator and prey, could we also sustain Bigfoot? And I think the answer is probably yes. So Bigfoot, if you are completely unaware, on the average, they tend to be about 6 feet to 8 feet tall, depending on if it's male, female, or, you know, younger Bigfoot or older Bigfoot. They're supposed to be very broad-shouldered, covered in hair, and they kind of weigh in somewhere around 400 to 900 pounds on average. And I mean, to put it in perspective, that's somewhere in between a grizzly bear and a moose. So, kind of in that range. So, okay, so let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about Bigfoot and the people who look for Bigfoot. Because there's not a ton of them in the interior. There's a lot of interest, but not a lot of people actually get out and do it. So I'd like to point some fingers and give some shout outs, and we will go on from there. Thanks. All right, we're back, and as promised, we're going to delve into Bigfoot and the folks who are out there searching for him. Before the break, we briefly went over the area in question, which is the Tanana Valley State Forest. If you want to, you can get on like Google Map or something and just check out the region. You'll see that it's a pretty sizable area. One thing that I want to really get into now is signs of Bigfoot. So these are all according to experts within the field of cryptozoology that, you know, these certain things might signal that there is a Bigfoot in your area. And you might not find all of this in one space. This might be, you might see something a little more in one region than the other. So keep those in mind, or keep that in mind. Okay, so one, tree knocking. This is where basically a Bigfoot would take a piece of wood or a rock or something and knock on a tree, and it produces, you know, a kind of a knocking sound. Growing up in North Pole, I heard something like this all the time, and my little brain decided that there was a lot of construction going on in my area, even though it was kind of out in the sticks, and there weren't a lot of new neighborhoods going in or anything like that. So there was no real reason for it. There's just a lot of wood knock sounds. Whooping calls. These, if you ever watch Finding Bigfoot, they do tree knocks all the time, and they also do a lot of these whooping calls. And these are just kind of like these, like, whoop, kind of a sound, except very loud, and I don't want to like do that in the microphone. But yeah, so those are the two like big noises that people tend to hear when Bigfoot are in the area. Tracks. Of course, people are always going to be looking for Bigfoot tracks. When you do come across a track, if you have a casting kit and you know how to use it, try to cast Bigfoot tracks, because that right there, that's some proof. That's some heavy proof right there. Okay. Broken trees at kind of strange heights. So it's not trees that are going to be broken by a human going through. And what I'm talking about, usually these trees are one to two inches thick. Sometimes they're a little thicker, but they're broken a little high up, and it's obvious that it's not due to some kind of weather condition or like an animal rutting or something like that. So these are kind of unknown tree breaks, and that tends to be something that's common in Bigfoot environments. Timber positioned to create a high perch or some kind of tree structure. A lot of times they just refer to these as tree structures, and it kind of, sometimes it looks like maybe the start of a teepee or some kind of lean-to, or some kind of just high up tree perch, you know, that just has a little more stability to it because there's two or three giant trees or something kind of positioned against one tree that's not torn down. And anyway, it's a tree structure. You can go online, you can Google these. I'll drop some pictures of this kind of stuff on Facebook. So if you want to check it out, make sure you go check out the Creep It Real podcast Facebook page. Another one is upside down trees. These are trees that have just been pulled out of the ground, and then they've been planted back in the ground, but upside down. So the roots are all on top, and it looks rather weird. This is something that's, I haven't seen a lot of this in the interior, but it's been noted that it's a more of a popular thing down in the panhandle of Alaska. So that's, or by Sitka and Juneau and Ketchikan and in that area where the ferry comes up, if you're down in that area. Signs of stored berries or other edibles. This is something that the Sasquatch tracker folks have come across multiple times, and it's like they find like a tree stump, and there's a collection of berries in the tree stump. There's no reason for it. It's out in the middle of nowhere, you know, and it's just a collection of food. Like, oh, we're gonna put this here, maybe go out and collect some more, bring it back, and then we have our stored area for these berries, or I don't know, mushrooms or whatever. Okay, trace evidence. This is the stuff that I tend to look for when I go out. This is hair, blood, fecal matter, saliva, anything that might have some sort of RNA or DNA sort of element to it. And also this is where you kind of get into more of a forensic science kind of side to everything. There's also smell. Apparently, from what I've read, because I've never come across Bigfoot myself, but from what I've read, the smell of Bigfoot is maybe similar to a bear, where a lot of times you can smell them before you ever see them or hear them or anything like that. So that's just something to keep in mind. All right, so those are just nine things that I kind of came up with during work, because right now during work, I won't lie, I work at a job that is deemed essential because we have Department of Defense work that we do. And I don't know, it, as an accountant, it's been a little slow on my end. So I don't know, I just kind of, sometimes I put some of this together when I'm at work. So if I've missed anything, please, please, please go to Facebook. It is facebook.com/creepitreal.podcast. That is the Facebook page for the podcast. Leave me a note, say, hey, you forgot about this, you forgot about that. You know, maybe you have some kind of cool story, maybe you have a really cool picture. Go ahead and post it. I'm totally into that kind of stuff. I want to know your stories. I want to see your pictures. And later on, I will let you know about some Facebook groups that I'm part of, where we are putting some stuff together for the summer for Sasquatch stuff. Okay. So I know that there are a lot of Sasquatch aficionados in the area. And all over the state, and that includes myself. I get very excited when it comes down to Bigfoot. But there is one big group that, or I guess I shouldn't say a big group because that sounds like there's a ton of people involved. But there's one group that has made their own giant footprints, so to say, in Sasquatch research in the interior, and that is Sasquatch Tracker. Sasquatch Tracker is made up of two guys. They kind of head it. I don't know if they have any trainees or whatever out and about, but I know that it's headed by Dr. J. Robert Alley, and he's out of Ketchikan, and then there's also Michael Thompson, who's out of Tok. So if you want to check them out, their website is sasquatchtracker.com. They have a lot of cool pictures and sighting reports, and you can see their investigation notes and stuff like that. It's pretty interesting. They keep a blog going, so you can always stay up to date. Let's see here, and I will post that again. I'll post that on Facebook and in the podcast description, so you can easily find them. Okay, so I have not met Dr. Alley. He is the author of a book called Raincoast Sasquatch, which kind of focuses on the Panhandle area. I've only been to the Panhandle one time, and that's when I was on the ferry going from Bellingham, Washington, up to Haines, Alaska, so I could drive up to Fairbanks, because that's like the easiest way. I have met Michael Thompson kind of online only, but we've talked a lot online, and we were supposed to have met up when I was going through Tok at one point, but things happened and there's some miscommunication, I think, on my part, and we just kind of missed each other. Anyway, if you've never been to Tok, or if you don't know where Tok is, find Fairbanks. It is about 200 miles east of Fairbanks and about 95 miles west of the Canadian border. It's like when you're on the Alcan, it is the first big town that you get to when you come into Alaska. And it's supposedly a big hotspot for Bigfoot. I haven't really gone out there to do any squatching myself. But there are a lot of sightings out that way. When I was passing through Tok that one time, I was actually going to collect stories on all kinds of stuff. And Bigfoot was a big one. So, okay, so Michael Thompson, he lives out in Tok. He has for quite a while now. He's in the field of law enforcement, and he has two master degrees. One is in law enforcement, and the other one is in anthropology and heritage. I believe he went to the University of Idaho. I could be wrong on that. I'm sure I'll get corrected if I am wrong. But yeah, so he has two master degrees. So he has a good foundation for all like what he's doing, and he's law enforcement. He knows what to look for when it comes to that. So if you go over to the Sasquatch Tracker website, and also through their blog, you can see the effort that they've put into getting out and looking for Bigfoot, which is great. A lot of people, they say they're interested, they do a lot of chatting and stuff online, but they never actually get out to do stuff. And that's a big problem that I've run into personally. But you can, if you look at their website, you can see photo evidence of tracks, food collection stores, timber perches, you know, tree structures, and all kinds of stuff. It's a pretty interesting website when you really start going through it. They also have some like how-tos, like how to make your own cast of a track, what kind of stuff you should have in a bag if you're going to go out searching for Sasquatch, that sort of thing. Okay, so I know that there are other groups in Alaska, but I wanted to really focus on Sasquatch Tracker right now because they're the big name in the interior. And it's important to know who to contact. Sasquatch Tracker will definitely take your Bigfoot reports, and they will probably follow up a little bit, either email or phone or something, for like a more in-depth interview with you. So if you want to stay anonymous, you could probably say, hey, keep my name out of it, but they will still probably contact you. That seems to be a pretty common thing. So let's see here. We do have a lot of Sasquatch sightings in the region, but most of them don't go reported. So I always encourage people to report stuff because that gives everyone more of an idea of what's going on in our area. Let's see. Okay. Sorry. I have notes and I have a lot of like, think about this, do this, all that kind of stuff. Okay. All right. So places where you can go to possibly run into a Sasquatch, or I don't know if you want to do that, or find some tracks or something. Hang on. Sorry, I need some coffee. Okay. So areas where you can go, where you can venture and kind of be safe and have maybe possibly your own sighting or evidence collection. Nenana is actually a really great location. The biggest problem with Nenana is there aren't any major public trails out that way. So you kind of have to like just chill. And the great thing about Nenana is that this comes from I don't know if he wants me to give his name out, so I won't. But let's just say that he was a prominent figure in the area, and then he retired and moved away. He said that he was kind of known as one of the people in town that really liked the weird stuff, you know, quote unquote, the weird stuff. So he would always get told stories. And he said that almost everyone in the town of Nenana had some sort of sighting or some kind of experience with Bigfoot. And if you head down to Nenana, stop in the cultural center. It's right there along the river, and ask them about it, because they have some really cool old stories about Bigfoot. Like we're talking like back in the 1860s, there is some Bigfoot stuff, and since then, and well, gosh, let's see here. Bigfoot, there are stories of Bigfoot, just there'll be sighting like somewhere in town. Like someone will be going down one of the dirt roads in Nanana, and oh, there's Bigfoot walking alongside the road, you know, that sort of thing. So it's really a weird town to just kind of hang out for a couple days in. And if you're there, I'd also suggest stopping in over at the Rough Woods Inn, because that's where you're going to get some local beer as well, if you're into beer. I'm not really a drinker, but I it's just like everyone that I know seems to really appreciate locally brewed beer. Anyway, so Nanana is a really good spot to go. It's just kind of hard to get out into the boonies. But do you really want to? Like, there's a lot of wolves down that way. I would probably guess that there's probably a lot of bear as well. But I've mostly heard about wolves kind of on the outskirts of town and stuff like that. But yeah, so go ahead and check out Nanana. If you're up in Fairbanks, there's not really a lot of trails between Fairbanks and Nanana that are open. So if you go up to Fairbanks, that's where you get a lot of trails. You could probably venture out. If you go somewhere that's really public, out of Fairbanks, if you go along Chena Hot Springs Road, you have Angel Rocks and you have Granite Tours up there. Those are so, so popular with the public. You're probably not going to see a ton of Bigfoot, right? Because they pretty much like to avoid a lot of public places, you know? And I say that right after talking about Nanana and Bigfoot walking around in town. But there's a difference. There's a difference. Nanana has a very... it's a very small town, not quite village. It's small town mentality where, you know, they kind of keep things close to the chest, that sort of thing. They don't do a lot of talking. And there's not a ton of people in Nanana. Whereas if when you go up to Fairbanks, you have Fairbanks itself. You have people who live outside of city limits in Fairbanks, which is more... I think there's more people who live outside of city limits in Fairbanks than there are inside. You have Fort Wainwright. You go up, there's Fox. There's people out in Esther, which is... That's a little out of town. Fox is a little out of town. About 14 or 15 miles southeast, you have North Pole. And then right outside North Pole, you have... Eielson Air Force Base, and then Salcha's right next to that. And I mean, there's quite a few people in the interior for this area, for the Fairbanks North Pole area. And I don't know, it just seems like there's more spectacle. There's more spectacle, there's more tourists, you know, that sort of thing. But it doesn't mean that it's a bad area to go out for Bigfooting. So I would say maybe go up to like Chattanooga, go around that area, maybe Murphy Dome or Esther Dome. Where else? There's a lot of places kind of out towards kind of southeast if you head, I don't know, like out towards North Pole, maybe beyond North Pole, maybe somewhere between Salcha and Delta Junction, that area. There's a lot of trails, a lot of places where you can go camp. and you can start hearing knocks and stuff like that. And that's, you really want to start paying attention to signs of Bigfoot, which is why I brought that up earlier, especially the sounds, because that's, for me, that's what I've had the most experience with when it comes to Bigfoot. I've heard a lot of tree knocks. I've heard a lot of weird howls and calls, whatever, in the middle of the night. So that's what you want to look for. Let's see here. When you get down towards Delta Junction and Toke, I haven't heard a lot of stories come out of Delta. I'm sure there are some, but sometimes it's hard to get stories out of Delta Junction. But there are a lot of stories that come out of Toke. And there's, if you go, okay, so there's like the Alcan, the Alaska Highway. And then there's a highway that kind of cuts down to Gakona. And which highway is that? I know on maps it's often referred to as the Toke Cutoff, but I think it's also part of, is it part of the Glen? I think it's part of the Glen Highway. Something like that. It's something. Anyway, if you look at a map, you'll see what I'm talking about. Toke to Gakona. All along that road, there are towns around that area, but there's really not a lot of people. And that is supposed to be highly filled with Bigfoot. And then once you hit Gakona, if you go a little further south to Glen Allen has a bigger population. Glen Allen has had enough Bigfoot sightings and stuff recently that the town has considered doing something a little more publicly regarding Bigfoot, whether it's like Bigfoot business or something. They've talked about it at city council meetings, from what I've been told. And if you go from Gakona up to Delta, a lot of that is military-owned land, so just be cautious for where you're going to be walking around. But I would probably recommend probably like the Black Rapids area. That would be a good area to venture out, but you have to be really careful of bears and moose and caribou and all kinds of other wild animals. So I guess that's kind of, those are the big areas where I would venture out to. Obviously you don't want to be downtown Fairbanks because you're probably not going to see much of anything. Let's see here. How to get involved. Okay. The first thing that you might want to do to get involved is you could contact Sasquatch Tracker and just send him an email and be like, or contact him on Facebook or something and be like, hey, are you doing any training? Which I was talking to Michael Thompson a little earlier this week, and he's said that he might be putting something together later this summer after this COVID-19 thing kind of gets wrapped up a little bit, and people are safer. So he might be putting together something. It would be like a full day or maybe a 2-day over the weekend class or something with like hands-on demonstrations and maybe some lectures and that sort of thing, just so there's some sort of Bigfoot training going on. I've been trying to put together, it's kind of a secret thing, I guess, or at least it was, like a Bigfoot weekend, where the basis of it, my idea for it is the basis would be to have like some sort of social meet and greet, and then to have like a town hall sort of a thing where people can share the stories and experiences and stuff. And you can have maybe a guest speaker or something. And then to actually have some sort of expedition that people can sign up and go out on. And I think it'd be really cool. I mean, there's a lot of leeway. There's a lot of other things that could happen in that. But my thought was, if we could make it like a statewide Bigfoot weekend, then if someone down in Seward or something wants to host a Bigfoot weekend event, they can do something. And if someone, you know, maybe in Bethel wants to do something, they could do it. Fairbanks would probably do something. I mean, if they wanted to do something out in Tok, they could do something out in Tok. And we could all just list it under, hey, this Bigfoot weekend, find your closest location and, you know, participate. I just thought it'd be kind of cool. And it'd be something new and different for the state. Anyway, if you are interested in that, you can contact me at the Creep It Real podcast. And we can chit chat about it, because right now I don't know if it's going to happen. It's kind of an up in the air thing. Let's see here. Every once in a while, here in Fairbanks anyway, I host a Bigfoot and Brews. I'm into coffee, so my brew is always coffee. We usually go to a coffee house and talk about Bigfoot. And it happened one time before all the COVID-19 stuff happened. We started getting it planned, like a second one planned, and then they were like, oh, quarantine. So most people are now, you know, they have to stay home and do the whole quarantine thing. But if you are interested in that, you can check out there's Alaska Bigfoot News, which is a group on Facebook that I'm in. There's also Bigfoot Hunters of Alaska, and that one seems to be a little more active. And that's where I do a lot of my group talking with other people. So if you want to check that out, I'll drop both of those on the Facebook site and in the podcast description as well, so you can check those out and get more involved. I am hoping to find some people to go out on expeditions. I think I have a couple already who are interested. All right, so if you are interested, look for some information on the Facebook podcast page, and you'll find where you can get involved. Okay. The next episode is going to be my first show about fitness. As much as I like paranormal stuff, I absolutely love talking about like exercising and eating healthy and just maintaining a level of fitness. Even though I myself have some issues. I say that, don't we all have issues about that? Anyway, it's, I'm doing it, I'm making it part of the podcast because it helps me stay involved. So it's really, it's helping me. And so if you could answer the question that I'm going to pose, which will be, what is your biggest issue when it comes to fitness and healthy eating? Pretty simple, pretty basic. I'm going to post that on the Facebook page. So, and I'll be separate from the show posting. So leave your answers. You can always PM me if you need to, if you want to keep your answers anonymous. You can just let me know, say, you know, maybe keep it anonymous or something like that. Anyway, I'll get that posted on the Facebook page, and creep it real, creepsters. Hey, you can listen to Creep It Real through anchor.fm. or stream it through Spotify, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Overcast, and Pocket Casts. Stay up to date with new episodes and look for submission calls on Facebook. If you have something to share with the podcast, whether it's a sighting or a photo or a video clip, or maybe you just have a question for me, go ahead and send that in. You can PM me on Facebook or just publicly post it. It's all up to you. Contact information is going to be listed on the anchor.fm podcast description as well as Facebook. If you are a fan of Bigfoot, go ahead and check out Beans Baxter's podcast, Alasquatch, on Podbean. It is alasquatch.podbean.com. You'll find the link in the description for the podcast, for my podcast, and on Facebook, as well as a link to his Facebook page. If you're feeling the need to explore Alaska yourself, why don't you check out my latest book, Interior Alaska Alternative Travel Guide. It has paranormal places, quirky destinations, and cool local spots to visit while you are in the interior of Alaska. It's available on Amazon, and I will drop a link, of course, in the podcast description and again on Facebook. All right, thanks. Have a good night and creep it real.